Today's Tuesday, July 10th. It's news for neats, stuff that matters. I don't know.
Well, some of it's stuff. Wendell's getting ready to go on a trip. We're recording this on a Saturday.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird. It's like the end of day Saturday.
It's not like anybody ever releases important news on a Sunday. Anyway, yeah, so I'll just get on with the news. What's in this episode?
The one that was the closest to the top. This is government and one each of crypto design and
there's one other category.
Something I don't remember.
We should have saved the design for last.
Social.
Oh, social might be a close second for design in terms of like how ridiculous it is.
Listen, the design one's not that ridiculous.
It's fine. So we reported last week that there was this crazy like link tax European Parliament thing going on. Well, guess what? That has been rejected by the EU Parliament. Although I would point out the margin by which it was rejected is a little unsettling. It was 318 to 278, which makes me weep for all of Europe.
What's more important is it wasn't necessarily rejected. It was kicked back to committee. So it's not dead. Just, they bloodied its nose and sent it back, and it's going to come back more powerful than ever.
I don't like this new, like, it seems like it's happening in everything. The new strategy is, let's ask for the completely, it's like, I would like to murder and dismember this person and then mail the cubes of the person to their family. And it's like, well, that's unreasonable. Why don't we just gas him instead? Oh, yes, let's do that. That's much more. And it's
can
like,
we reuse the meat?
Well, see, that's the slippery slope, you know, the boiling frog of government. We've been compromising on gun control for 30 years. It seems like every time we compromise, they just keep coming back.
They just take another. It's just this is they're coming for the internet now, and the compromises on the internet are making me upset. It's giving me blood pressure problems. This is not good.
Oh yeah.
I was surprised how many musicians were backing this bill. Yeah. I wasn't surprised, but I was a little bit.
It's like Paul McCartney, you know?
Annie Lennox, who did the music for Return of the King.
You look back at the 60s and the Beatles, and, you know, and like they were all counterculture. They're the coolest things in the world. You live long enough, you become the garbage that you preached against.
You think maybe it's like 60 years of Paul McCartney being told by his record label that the reason he's not making any money is not because they're taking it all, but because people are stealing his stuff?
Well, first of all, he's making a lot of money.
Yeah. He can only afford 3 vacation homes this year.
How much of that's thanks to Warren Buffett, though? Aren't they friends? How deep does this rabbit hole go?
Well, they wouldn't be friends if he wasn't making all that money.
We also have a follow-up from California. Yeah, remember Santiago? Was that his name? Santiago?
Santiago.
It was Santiago, and the other guy was Wiener.
Oh, yeah. I giggled the whole time reading the article. It's on 12.
Net neutrality makes a comeback in California. So it's almost back to its original configuration, but not quite. There's still some language in there that was more strict than the FCC rules, but that's been removed, and it's still removed.
Also, this is still underway as of the article, at least. They're like, we're still negotiating, but it's all good because we agree on the main points. So it remains to be seen if another last minute switch and bait goes on here. You know, I mean, it's kind of like with the EU thing, everybody's celebrating. It's like, yeah, we did it. No, you can never celebrate this kind of thing. It's eternal
it's
vigilance.
Fight.
Also, I would call attention to the zero rating thing. It says, this kind of abusive, anti-competitive zero rating, which leads to lower data caps for everyone, would be prohibited, while zero rating plans that don't harm consumers are not banned. So,
who decides?
Yeah.
Whoever exactly. has the most money, as usual.
Basically, yeah.
Well, I mean, there is already case law on the books that when somebody was streaming Netflix and AT&T offered the same show, the guy ran up a huge data bill streaming it from Netflix, and the judge ruled you can charge him for whatever AT&T charges for their streaming TV service, but just because he watches it on Netflix, the data isn't different. So hopefully that comes back. I mean, that's a U.S. thing. It's not, you know, really binding. And that was, I think, in like Virginia or West Virginia or somewhere. But I hope stuff like that ends up being on the books in California. But it's going to be 5 or 6 years before this is really corrected. And this next 5 or 6 years is looking like dark times ahead. California High Court has said that Yelp can't be ordered to remove posts. This is the latest in a series of rulings where an attorney had an unfavorable review on Yelp and they sued to take it down and they won, But it was a lawsuit against the person that left the unfavorable review, and they didn't take it down. So then they tried to involve Yelp somehow and force Yelp to take it down, and they won that case. But that was appealed by Yelp, and now it's saying, well, Yelp doesn't have to comply with that. Which is weird. I mean, because it's, you know, Yelp. I would not think that that would rule that way. The judge said that Yelp was not involved in the, was not a named party in the final case. So Yelp can't be made to remove somebody else's review. So I guess the earlier ruling that the person that left the review has to remove it still stands. But the attorney hasn't had any luck contacting the person that actually left the review.
I wish we had a username.
I don't know. It's just sort of odd.
Attorney had no luck getting Crusher 99 to respond to their messages.
I'm not really sure. You know, it's like Yelp said the removal order violated a 96 federal law that courts should be, you know, courts have widely interpreted as protecting internet companies from liability for posts by third-party users and prohibiting companies from being treated as the speaker or publisher of users' posts. But I don't understand why it's such a big deal to make Yelp remove it, other than it maybe opens Pandora's box for other people to demand that their stuff be taken down as well. It's going to be interesting to see how that one plays out. I'd say that they'll probably appeal it, the attorney in question, because they're an attorney. Uganda has banned VPNs to prevent users from dodging its absurd new social media tax. Oh, and by the way, Uganda has a social media tax.
It's like 5 cents per post, I think. Or no, per day.
But they earn like $600 a year.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot.
Yeah. Well, and if you're just checking, you know, your messages every day, that's kind of annoying to have to pay that.
The description about how Uganda would enforce this was like, oh, ISPs will tell us if you're using Facebook or Twitter or whatever. And it's like, what?
And they did. There's screenshots of, it's like, hey, you must pay this tax. Here's your options. There it is. Here's how you can pay the tax that you have to pay right now.
That seems like that would silence dissent and be terrible.
It's almost like that's what it was designed to do.
Abusing the law to silence dissent and freedom? No, say it isn't so. Oh, there's going to be a lot of stories about that in this episode, probably, maybe, possibly.
I don't think it's this one, but maybe. We literally just said the names of the categories. And
Is the government one.
Okay.
Well, that's who does it.
Ars Technica has a nice article on, so Tacoma has not released Stingray records. Remember the story that we did, that was probably a couple of months ago now, where they were like, hey, let's roll out this thing and it'll be fine. And we're just preemptively surveilling everywhere with Stingrays in order to try to find crime preemptively. Well, they won't turn over records about what they found and how badly they were doing it, even though they've been ruled against and been fined. So,
I'll just say that I read this article early this morning, like first thing when I woke up, and it took my like half asleep brain a second to register that stingray did not mean the aquatic animal.
Oh, they got Steve Irwin again.
Stingrays are surveying all the time. I was like, how?
This is really insulting because it's like in the ruling, it's like Judge Whitener ordered the city must pay $182,000 for violations of the state's PRA and over $109,000 in attorney's fees, but it's like, oh, you caught me red-handed spying on our own citizens. Pay yourself $109,000. Nothing bad ever happened to anybody involved. Why? Why is this a thing? This next story is sort of fun. Mob lynchings in India fueled by WhatsApp and fake news. So, I don't know. There was a guy driving a van or something, and he got mobbed.
So what happens is like people start spreading rumors over these social media sites that, you know, these people are operating a child sex ring or a child trafficking ring or something of that nature.
It's WhatsApp. It's not social media because WhatsApp is encrypted.
So you can
you never know. So they send these mass messages and they're saying that, you know, these horrible things are happening and it's Bob. Bob is doing it. And Bob has no idea. He's like, what? And then people go and kill Bob.
Well, they said they killed the guy driving the van.
Yes, to combat it, hired street performers. Now,
$8 a day.
What kind of idea? This is definitely a government idea. It's like, you know what we'll do? We'll get street performers to drive to all the little tiny municipalities and alert people about not falling for this. And this guy showed up and they're like, That's exactly what those people would say. Yeah. And immediately lynched him.
Why?
This has happened quite a few times already, which is, I don't know how you would combat this in really rural areas in India.
Well,
WhatsApp to fight.
The way they want to combat is to, you know, break the encryption of WhatsApp. But they do point out that these are a lot of very rural people who are just now getting mobile devices. So you can imagine somebody who's in a technology period of like the 80s and you hand them a smartphone. You know, it's kind of like going back in time and showing somebody modern technology. They would immediately think, like, what is this witchcraft? And they would be spellbound by it. And that's what's happening. They see it. They believe it.
They just blindly trust it. Yeah. It's like, who would lie about that?
The magic screen has spoken, and we must kill.
I mean, to be fair, if someone, like, if you didn't know that it was fake and someone was like, hey, these people are selling your children, I'd probably be pretty angry, too, and be like, maybe we should kill that guy.
I'm getting an idea for remaking the movie, The Gods Must Be Crazy. Except instead of a Coke bottle, we're going to drop a cell phone.
I haven't seen that movie in ages. I've actually seen that, I think, a long time ago. Was it on TV once?
It's like, the cell phone here says that we need to kill so-and-so and send Zuckerberg all of our money. Who is Zuckerberg?
And what's money?
Oh. Europe is using smartphone data as a weapon to deport refugees. So, like, the Dutch, apparently, when you apply for asylum and they don't believe your story, they ask for your Facebook password, and by law, you have to give it to them if you want asylum.
This is a weird article, because this kind of points out this weird dichotomy that we live in, where people breaking the law to immigrate are the victims. Because Wired was like, advocates are warning them to throw away their mobile phones so they can't get caught. And it's like, well,
say it got stolen in a refugee camp.
You're saying it's a good thing that these people are defrauding the government. And the one guy they talk about, so there's a rule in the EU, whatever country you step foot on first, that's your asylum country. Mm-hmm. So he started in Greece, but he did a little research and it was like, oh,
there's
Greece,
no social programs here.
Greece doesn't have welfare. I need to go to, where was it?
I thought it was Denmark he went to, but
maybe,
I could be wrong.
Maybe, yeah. And it's like, let me throw away my phone so they don't find out that I was in Greece first.
Well, that's what it was recommended to him.
Yeah,
because
I
want to
get these juicy welfare programs. I do not agree with that at all. I mean, these people are criminals.
Are they criminals for doing that, or are they other higher level criminals that are also escaping the rest of stuff in their country?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
It just seems... I don't know.
I wonder why it's the first like country you step foot in too. That like that's
because like, nobody wants them, and
they're like this is the easiest rule to implement.
And we should say that on a meta level, I understand. I think we all understand that us bombing Syria into the Stone Age is responsible for a lot of this. But I'm not going to carry the weight of my politicians' actions. You know, everybody shouldn't suffer because they did that.
They can go to Mexico.
Oh, they have a very serious immigration policy. No, that's hilarious. That's another can of worms you probably shouldn't have opened.
Yeah. That's precisely why I opened
it. The comments are just going to be
It's just
horrible.
Oh, my gosh. If it was not already apparent that we have no idea what's going on in Europe. Well, I mean, we kind of do, but we kind of make fun of it, so not really.
We don't live there. If you live there... You can give us a little insight, but the article made it sound like these people are kind of just fudging their details to avoid being caught. And by kind of, it means literally hiding everything. Yeah.
I mean, I want to be compassionate, but I also want people that are capable of pulling their own weight to pull their own weight.
Talked about people hiding up to 13 SIM cards in their body cavities, which means the butt.
I don't even want to think about that.
Now that's all you're going to be thinking about.
Yeah.
Maybe that's an easy way to get through airports now, Wendell.
No.
No, because they got the sniffer dogs now, electronic sniffing dogs.
Court rules copying photos found on the internet is fair use. This is surprising.
This was very surprising to me.
I was not expecting this result. So this website that is...
It's like a tourism website.
Yeah, it's like, come to our town. Our town is amazing. A photographer took this picture, and this was used without permission. But... they said that because they cropped the photo and they transformed the photo and because it was a non-commercial use that was okay. And I would not expect that to be okay.
Normally, like, if you're going to take an image like that, the rule is, like, it needs to be significantly altered. Like, not cropping is not enough. And that's why I was surprised when it was like, no, that's fine.
But the non-commercial part, so this was the Northern Virginia Film Festival, which a film festival is a commercial endeavor, right?
Yeah,
or is it like a state-funded thing?
You would think.
But for whatever reason, they're like, no, this picture wasn't promoting a film or anything like that. It was just like, hey, look how exciting Northern Virginia is. And that was part of what made it okay.
The use was in good faith.
Yeah.
Which that doesn't really do the photographer any good. I don't know why they couldn't at least include a credit to the photographer on the page, but
I think that was part of it. They claimed they looked for some sort of license for it and couldn't find it. And I guess they had the proof of where they found it. So wherever they found it, there was no accreditation.
I hate it when that happens. It's like, oh, I'm going to crop your photo and upload it to like a Creative Commons thing. And it's like, no.
Put a 9-gag watermark on it.
Well, you know who should have used watermarks? The BBC. The BBC is heading to court to hunt down somebody who leaked a Doctor Who scene. So this is, we have a new female Doctor Who, in case you've been living under a rock.
Some people don't like that. That's
hashtag
okay.
Not my doctor. None of them are my doctor. I don't watch.
Yeah, I don't watch Doctor Who either.
I don't. Christopher Eccleston was okay, but you know, I don't know. There was Matt Tennant wasn't too bad. I'm signaling to the
other
fine.
Doctor Who people
so that we get upvotes and comments and engagement and stuff.
Sean Connery is always the best.
So the BBC has found this scene. The scene isn't even complete. It doesn't have all of its stuff. Apparently, it's a 53-second clip, I guess. So it's 1 minute. But the BBC is, they're going after this hardcore, so.
Correction, 53 seconds is not 1 minute.
Actually?
This is probably going to be a clip shown at Comic-Con or something like that, but it's not even, it's just a tiny little tidbit.
But the big story isn't that they leaked it, it's that they are mercilessly pursuing whoever leaked it. Because this had to be somebody in the
internal
production chain, because it was, you know, pre-processed. Or pre-processing. So how much resources do you want to throw at that to find the leaker? Because didn't this leak create more promotion about Doctor Who than anything they'll do at Comic-Con? You know what? Maybe they did this.
Yeah. I wouldn't have known anything about this if they hadn't leaked it. So.
You guys didn't know there was a female doctor, most of you.
Oh, we covered that before. Yeah, that was a big deal.
They don't watch the news.
Well, I saw it on a lot of geeky websites. A lot of people were upset they had a female doctor.
The one side was furious that the doctor was female, and the other side was furious that one side was furious that the doctor was female.
There was nobody in the middle that was just like, I don't care.
Well, there are people like us who are geeks but don't watch Doctor Who, so.
I think Doctor Who should be transgender.
There, I said it. Mm-hmm.
Omnigender, it's like it's just, you know, whatever they feel like today. I mean, it goes with the rest of the
technology. I think they should transition throughout the season.
And all of the difficulties to go with that.
Find a brave actor who's willing to start hormone therapy as they begin filming. And then we can. Did you see, this is related, but this is not related to technology. They're doing a movie about a I think it was a woman who transgendered into a man, like not, you know, just acted as a man, appeared as a man to the world. And if you look at the pictures, it's not a beautiful person. And they're making a movie about that. And guess who's going to play a very odd looking woman to man transgender person?
Theranos girl.
What?
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson.
Because when I look at Scarlett Johansson, I think, hey, that's some sexual ambiguity. Can't tell if that's a boy or a girl.
Well, maybe she'll pull a Charlize Theron, like when she did Monster. You know, she'll shave off her eyebrows and, like, you know, fully
but
devote herself to the role.
As hard as they worked to ugly her up, she was still Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so much flame in the comments now. It's amazing.
I'll take it one further. I'll anger even more of our audience. Charlize Theron is my favorite African-American.
I was going to say I really like her as an actress, but
that might be the title of this episode.
Also, wouldn't she just be African?
Well, she lives here now.
Oh, I guess.
She's got citizenship. She's a literal African-American.
Someone give us the legalities of that.
Oh, Lord. Our Patreon. Is it patreon.com/level1? Companies must let customers cancel subscriptions online, a new California law says. So if you sign up online, you've got to be able to cancel online. And this stems from things like people signing up for the newspapers, looking at you, New York Times, and not being able to cancel without calling somebody.
I am so excited. I mean, I guess this doesn't make a difference to me. But I'm excited because screw the people who make it so hard to unsubscribe. Yeah.
That's a whole, like that whole retaining thing. There are people and their whole job is to retain you.
Yeah.
And they get paid based on how many people they retain. So they will go to the ends of the earth to stop you from canceling.
Well, the story that they talked, or the tweet that they referenced in this story, was a woman who was trying to unsubscribe from the New York Times, and she called once and was on hold for like 10 or 15 minutes. And then she told the guy, hey, I just want to unsubscribe. And he was like, oh, you know, he's doing the whole retainer thing. And then when she says like, no, I really want to unsubscribe, he just hung up on her.
Because that would be a mark against him.
Yeah.
it's hilarious.
Well, at least people in California won't have to deal with it anymore.
This is one of the few times I, without any reservation, agree with California.
Well, it's going to be more complicated than that because the New York Times is not in California. And so will this apply to California residents?
Yes, because you can sign up in California on the New York Times website.
So will it apply to everybody? Because it would actually be more work for the New York Times to figure that out and still punish the people that are outside of California.
No, because they got your details on file. So when you call in, they identify you.
Well, no, I'm saying it's like, are you saying that they're going to build the cancel online feature and then block anybody outside of California from using it?
Because presumably
they haven't built it.
They're going to make, you have to log in to cancel.
Okay.
So
it won't matter where you are.
They're going
to
know.
Could you change your address to a place in California and then cancel
that? That would be hilarious. They're probably like,
someone get a New York Times subscription and test this for us.
No, they'll set up a system where it's like, oh, you want to change your delivery address? We're going to send you a postcard. And you have to go on the website and put in the code that's on the postcard to confirm that you actually live in California.
Like Google does for like if you own a business. That's so annoying.
They also do that. My dad forgets his Google password so often, and there's no amount of recovery that they can help him with. He's had to get postcards twice.
Oh. I've had a few clients like that.
It's rough. Well, I'm sure that we'll be reporting on more adventures in canceling the New York Times subscription as time wears on. Now, this one is an interesting one. Remember all of the congressional testimony about Facebook and Zuckerberg and all that? Facebook is a publisher, and public it says no. And in the congressional hearings it said no. But in this lawsuit it says yes, that it is actually a publisher, because it's trying to hide behind some legal protections that are afforded to publishers.
I think this is more, they're publisher fluid is what you would call this. Because any given day, whatever is more convenient to them, that's their publisher status.
The mind reels at the mental gymnastics one has to do to try to support this kind of thing.
But this,
that's not mental gymnastics. It's just how much money are you willing to pay to be able to have the benefits of both?
Well, this is, goes back to this constant argument. And I think it's a pretty good argument, because there's a lot to it in terms of are these platforms neutral? You know, like the whole Twitter argument. Like, if Twitter's neutral, then can they ban white supremacists? Because that's taking a stance. And if they're not neutral, then can they claim that they're neutral? Is that illegal? Is that false advertising?
Or if they're going to filter content of one kind or another, are they ultimately responsible when they fail in doing that?
Which, in this lawsuit, that's what Facebook is saying, that they are allowed to do that because they are a publisher. So
we have editorial control because we publish. And it's like, it also seems like it's dangerous for an open, like if they're touting themselves as a platform for public discourse, then they could surreptitiously shape that discourse, which is perhaps a problem.
Could.
Or actively. If
have been caught doing.
Were asked to explain that in front of Congress.
And Congress was like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, that was really sad. There's going to be a callback to that in a later, probably in a later episode, so that's going to be exciting. The German police are accused of carrying out some pretty stupid raids.
This article is very impartial, but it was a joy to read.
Well, I mean, you got to agree with them, though, don't you?
So it turns out that the German police have been raiding people as a form of harassment.
This was a...
It's a non-profit.
It's a non-profit. So it's a twisted thing here. It's a non-profit that gives money to other organizations, one of which hosted Tor exit nodes, I guess, or something like that. And then something happened through that, and they're trying to identify somebody. So they're going after the parent organization that gave them some money, and they took everybody's technology, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of the passwords and encryption keys.
Timmy's Minecraft password.
They brought in those electronic-sniffing German shepherds.
It goes even farther. I mean, this organization in Germany, there's a really old organization in Germany called the Chaos Computer Club. They were affected. All of their stuff was taken as well in a subsequent raid. And have you ever heard of the Tails Linux distribution? It's the amnesiatic Linux something something. It's a bootable Linux CD that you can use that's sort of high security. You can use it for secure browsing. It has a Tor connection built in. It can do VPN type connections. It's a really awesome way for you to securely use, you know, another computer somewhere else. You can boot from CD, do whatever, and there's no trace of anything. There's no forensic anything on that computer. And so a lot of people have financially supported the Tails project. Well, as a result of this raid, if you have ever supported the Tails project, the police have your information.
Including
the German police.
Yeah, your bank, whatever you use to transfer the money, they've got those records. Now, the best part about this story is one of these recipients of this money, one of the places was like one of those hacker space, you know, that bullshit. They were whiteboarding some stuff, which, you know, was some kind of algorithm, and they were doing some chemistry type stuff, so they had some chemicals on the table.
They were etching circuit boards, according to the article.
The cops came in and they were like, you know, hassling them. And I was you get a feeling those guys gave them some lip. And they were like, oh, I guess you're making bombs. They arrested everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. How, like, that is definitely harassment. That is just not an excuse for, I mean, Germany, you should be better than that, Germany. This is not even a thing.
Pro tip, if you're the German police, maybe have a lighter hand when it comes to this kind of thing.
I read the story and I was like, man, is this story based in America? I would have thought so, if not for all the names.
Is that a pro-amnesty tip or pro, I don't know, like a pro-humanitarian tip?
Pro-dictatorship.
Do you want fascism? Because this is how we get fascism. I've got some bad news for fans of Kim.com. Kim.com has lost his New Zealand extradition appeal. The only avenue left for him to save himself from extradition from New Zealand is to appeal to the New Zealand Supreme Court.
How long? That was back in the 2000s, right?
Yeah.
Was it like 06 or something?
Well, I think Mega Upload had started in 06, and at its height in 2011, Mega Upload claimed to have 50 million users, and this is from like 2013.
Okay.
When this is dated. So it's been going on quite a while.
Yeah, he's been fighting this, and he's right. Now, remember that one thing they proved, that all of that happened illegally in New Zealand at the behest of the American government. And I think they let the Americans go in and raid him.
Yeah.
And the Supreme Court ruled that that was in fact illegal, but somehow that, I guess they don't have the fruit of a poisonous tree over there, because somehow that didn't matter and the case just went on and now he's lost.
Yeah, that just doesn't seem, he actually got an apology from the Prime Minister or something for having all of his stuff taken illegally, which is like, at the end of the day, it didn't seem to matter.
An apology. Hey, sorry, you lost everything, bro.
We're still going to give you up to the Yanks, but you know how that goes.
Here's a coupon.
Like an there's an unlimited pasta bowl at the Olive Garden.
Sorry, it's a bit sticky. I don't know what happened there. Sydney Airport is launching face scan check-in trials. Now, haven't we reported on inaccurate face scan stuff for like the past,
we had quite a few stories about that, I think, just last week.
What could go wrong?
The UK's was 97% inaccurate.
Well, obviously airports is where we need inaccurate face recognition.
But this is going to be everything. You're not going to need a passport. You walk in, every part of your airline experience is going to be a facial scan.
I don't think that's going to work. What happens to... Like, there's just so many questions about, like, you know, it's obviously, it's just not going to work. Ugh.
Somebody's making a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to, well, it's going to work for, you know, maybe 40% of the people who use it, and the other people will be re-educated.
I'm still waiting for the research group to tell us that the airport scanners, which were just already in mass production even before airport scanner stuff was signed into law here, that turns out those actually just give you cancer. They're cancer machines.
I can
like
see that.
The ones that were looking at your junk?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we should mix the two. Maybe we should base everything in the airport on a genitalia scan.
It's like in Fallout. It's like the vault builders, like each vault is an experiment. That is, you know, every time something bad happens, a company enacts a new experiment. And it's like, we don't have enough people with cancer. We need to perform some, you know, real grassroots research on cancer. So we should deploy these scanner machines.
I think based on what we see every week, the entirety of the Australian continent is one big technology experiment to see how much they can screw one group of people when it comes to technology before they just an open revolt.
You know, one of the tools that can prevent open revolt is when the government gives one citizen the tools to rat out another citizen. And we have that here in the UK.
Call back to the German police.
In the UK, they're launching a national dash cam database for snitching on bad drivers. So the idea here is that you have a dash cam in your car, and when somebody does something that might be illegal, you upload the footage, and maybe the police will find that person.
You also give a description of what went wrong, and basically you fill out the report for them. They print it, use the video as evidence, and
give somebody
find somebody.
It's now, like reporting another bad player in a game.
Here's what I want to make this appeal to the people who are going to be under this horrible, horrible oppression. Ignore it completely 99% of the time. Only report people not using turn signals. But report it every time. And if you see a cop, follow them around, because inevitably they're not going to use their turn signal. And report them mercilessly.
That would be funny if that's all they got reports on.
Yeah,
other cops.
Right.
Like, channel the BBC with their Doctor Who witch hunt when you're doing those reports.
But yeah, that is just, that's disgusting. And I hate crappy drivers. And I've often been, you know, like behind somebody and it's like, God, I wish other people could witness what an idiot you are. But this is not the solution. Don't be a... Did any of you go to elementary school? Do they not teach these lessons in elementary school anymore?
You don't tattle.
Yeah.
No one wants that.
See something, say something.
Also, think about this. Those of you who are like, oh, screw you, man. I'm doing it because these people deserve to be... That's going to get leaked. Who turned who in is going to get leaked. And it's going to be like Uganda when that happens. So think about that.
There's going to be stabbings in the streets, except... They don't have guns, and they don't actually have knives in London, so...
They don't even have potato peelers. Some guy was sentenced for the potato peeler. He was carrying a potato peeler around, and he was... Like, he had an IQ of, like, 93 or something, and he didn't understand that a potato peeler was something you're not supposed to have.
Well, that's just going to make it more painful when they come at you with the cheese graters.
when you get in that slap fight.
You know who else we've been after with the cheese graters? ZTE, we have completely graded away its CEO and its entire leadership team. So
I can't believe we've gotten away with this.
I can't believe we've gotten away with this either. We seriously, so like, you know, Trump was like, no, we're banning ZTE. And then he's like, okay, it's okay. We reached a deal. And then Congress was like, wait a minute, what are we doing? And so now the resolution is that its entire leadership team is going to be replaced with probably an even worse leadership team.
And they've already got the oversight team who rules over all of them. But the...
This story does not make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Where they
at all.
Voted, this is like a Senate versus House. I don't remember which one voted, but the other one, they snuck it into that spending bill. And the spending bill still has not completely passed. And the version that's in the other arm does not have this in it. So it could still go through, that Trump's resolution might stand.
So what you're saying is that we should not be the least bit outraged or surprised when Putin demands a new board of directors at Google?
That might not be too bad, really. I think Putin would clear out some of that SJW nonsense from Silicon Valley real quick.
Who knows what he'd replace it with?
Well, it's pure corruption, but manly corruption. And Lily White.
Oh. Bear wrestling corruption. Kazakhstan is throttling the internet when the president's rival is online. I really wanted to come up with some kind of a Borat reference, but yeah, I just...
glorious Kazakhstan.
I just didn't care. So apparently, like, I had a higher opinion of Kazakhstan before this article, and after this article, it's like, come on, guys, you guys...
What do you know about Kazakhstan?
Yeah, based on what?
Yeah, other than, like, what you saw in Borat, what do you know about Kazakhstan? What's the capital?
I don't know. I know nothing about Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan is, like, the stereotypical Eastern Europe.
They're Central Asia.
Is there anybody in Kazakhstan? Is this a thing? Is this a known thing?
But what's going on here is there's a little fringe splinter guy who's not even in the country. It's one of these deals where he fled the country, but he's using social media to attack the ruling party. And he goes on Facebook every night at like 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. So they just turn the internet off, basically, every night between 7 and 9 p.m.
The guy in the article was not mad about that so much as he couldn't get on Facebook to discuss the World Cup with his friends.
Right, yeah.
Which, you know, that's what's important.
And that...
I'm noticing certain parallels with what's happening here in America.
Eurasianet.org, I don't know if they're partisan, but they really went out of their way to say how this guy wasn't even a factor, like this opposition guy. But, you know, maybe this is just a government mouthpiece.
But the government seems worried if they're doing that. That just seems crazy. Well, maybe this is fake news.
It's probably projection. They're like, oh, God, we are corrupt. Shut him up.
The other side's more corrupt.
Speaking of news organizations running weird articles that are uncharacteristic for the kind of news articles that those news organizations run, CNBC is telling us that it's real, it's coming, it's a matter of time. The Missile Defense Agency director on hypersonic weapons, because hypersonic weapons apparently travel in erratic ways and can move really fast, so they're hard to track. And
like 4 or 5 times the speed of sound.
It's only a matter of time before America's enemies have these weapons, and Putin's already testing them.
They're not editorializing this. This is literally what the DOD is telling them. They're like, oh, Jesus Christ, tell the world about the hypersonic weapons.
And they're just like, okay, copy, paste.
But more importantly... it's the Russians. The Russians have got them. You know, hilariously, they tested one publicly and it went right in the ocean. But the idea of the danger of...
vaguely North Korean.
These hypersonic weapons, the reason they're so dangerous is because the missile shields cannot catch them.
Yeah.
Like, by the time you see them coming, it's too late.
Yeah. So, literally, I just... what was that about? This
felt kind of like a fear-mongering article. Like,
or propaganda?
Like, yeah.
I thought we were past propaganda.
No.
Oh, my God. When? When did we get past? Yeah.
The best part... who works as a designer, no.
The final paragraph, it was like, hypersonic weapons, they're evil, and Russia's got them, and it's the end of the world. And the DOD will not comment on our own development of hypersonic weapons.
Well, why would they? They would never, ever use something like that.
They run Windows. It's nothing to worry about.
Well, they're good at making bombs, though. You can't take that away from them. You ever read about those thermobaric missiles? That's some nasty stuff.
Facebook has admitted that it has done a major screw-up and silently unblocked people without asking. So if you ever blocked somebody on Facebook and all of a sudden they can message you again, Facebook would like to request a mulligans.
Do a lot of people use blocking? I don't think I've ever really used blocking.
The funny thing was, this didn't affect you if you had unfriended them. So this was only if you blocked them.
But stayed friends.
I guess that's like a stealth block.
Hmm.
So well, like,
yeah, you don't necessarily want to like cut ties with them, but you don't want to see their crap in your feed, maybe.
I guess, yeah.
Does blocking remove the messaging capacity?
I think...
I don't remember.
Yeah, they're not allowed to message you, but they don't necessarily know it.
Okay. Until they try to message you, then it's...
although maybe they do, because isn't that like when somebody blocks you on the mobile stuff... you get them. It's like you can no longer send messages to this user, right?
I don't know.
I don't use Facebook.
Yeah. Somebody that can be some user engagement. Explain to us. I'm sure some of you have been blocked. Some of you with those anime icons. Tell us how that works.
Our next article, I have no idea about.
Yeah, this is about sports, but it's also about crypto.
The Kings are the world's first team to mine cryptocurrency. Here's why they're doing it. So it's the Sacramento Kings, It seems like some organization mining store gave them some cryptocurrency mining equipment to be like, hey, promote us, and you can have this really expensive cryptocurrency mining equipment that's mining Ethereum.
And, well, it's going to a local charity, I think, for, like,
yeah,
inner city youths, I think, it's, was the charity.
It's funny because the charity literally has the word black in it, which maybe be a little less partisan there, Sacramento Kings. But, yeah, that's basically, it seems like, hey, we've got this build, this huge center, and it wouldn't be a lot more on our electricity bill if we just plugged in some miners. And the word cryptocurrency in the title will get us impressed, so let's do that.
And also, no one is buying this equipment right now because the cryptocurrency prices are way down. So what better time to give away your equipment is when no one's buying it?
$5,000 a piece, these machines that they're running.
Jesus. It's one of those things, it's like, they could probably just donate some computers to a school and make the same sort of difference that they're making in some of those kids' lives, but...
I kind of think most of the schools in Sacramento have computers.
Maybe. Maybe not many that are updated.
Fast Company is telling us that everybody's penchant for blue is making us all miserable. Because blue is a terrible color.
Well, it's more blue light. So
it's literally cancer.
This is clickbait. A little bit. Talking about how UX controls tend to be, like, in newer stuff, they're all blue, and that keeps you awake at night, which is not great.
Well, but also, before the RGB craze, most of the fan lights and case lights, blue was the hot color for that, too.
Yeah, but then they talk about, like, how military applications, they tend to use orange because it's less stark at night and things like that.
Or red.
Yeah, or red. Interesting fact, the reason we use blue on our channel is because literally almost every competitor tech YouTube channel is either red or orange.
Team blue.
Team blue. Well, we just picked blue because, you know, I don't think you guys would like purple or pink. And I love yellow, yeah, but yellow is a pretty polarizing color.
You're a little heavy-handed on the purple and pink.
I like purple and pink personally, but...
I remember the time you wigged out when the light behind us was not purple.
Well, I didn't wig out. But it looks better because it adds contrast to the set.
We'll see you in the next one.
Bye.